Today we'd like to see the title of Esther, Zereshi, and Haman in Esther, chapters 5 and 6. To the souls on this online read through MP3 or YouTube channel on theirs, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number 1, in chapter 5, verse 9, so Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart, but when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand and tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 6, verse 2, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question in chapter 6, verse 10, then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for the Mordecai, the Jews who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? In the last time in Esther, chapter 4, verses 16-17, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Esther responded with courage and faith. She asked the Jews in Shushan to fast for 3 days, and she and her attendants would fast as well. Then she would go before the king, even though doing so could cost her life. If I perish, I perish. Esther understood the danger, but she refused to let fear prevent her from doing what was necessary. Her response teaches us that faith does not always remove danger. Rather, faith gives us courage to obey God, despite any possible consequences. In times of great difficulty, God's people should seek Him through prayer, fasting, and dependence upon His wisdom and strength. Mordecai then obeyed Esther's instructions. Neither he nor Esther knew what the final outcome would be, but they acted faithfully and entrusted the consequences to God. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. The king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. This was clearly to establish the protocol. If the king accepted the queen's approach, he would extend the golden scepter and should come forward and touch its tip. verse 3, the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." The king saw off to give Esther even half of his kingdom was a typical royal expression of extraordinary generosity, rather than a literal offer. Herodias' daughter received a similar promise from Herod when he said he would give her whatever she requested, even up to half of his kingdom. That's a cross-reference here, Mark. Verse 4, so Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Esther did not ask for half the kingdom. Instead, she invited the king and Haman to a banquet that she had prepared. Verses 5-8. Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, then he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done." Then Esther answered, said, "My petition and request is this: if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." Esther still did not reveal her request. She invited the king and Haman to another banquet. The following day, promised that she would then make her request known. Scripture does not tell us why she delayed. She may have been proceeding with careful wisdom and patience rather than acting hastily. According to James chapter 1, verse 19, slow to speak. Verse 9, question 1, answer. So Haman went out that day joyful with a glad heart, but when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand and tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Haman left the banquet joyful because he had been honored by the queen. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate refusing to rise and show fear, his joy quickly turned to anger. Haman was so consumed by hatred toward Mordecai that he could not enjoy the honor he had received. Bitterness can grow in the heart and affect our relationship with others too. Cross-reference Hebrews chapter 12, 15. Lest any root of bitterness spring up cause trouble, by this many become defiled. So affect many people, other people. When anger arises, we should bring it before the Lord rather than allow it to develop into bitterness. 10-12. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself, went home, and he sent and called for his friends and his wife Cherish. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, "Beside Queen Esther, inviting no one but me to come eat with the king over the banquet she prepared tomorrow. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king." So two banquets, today banquet, and tomorrow another banquet. Haman gathered his friends and his wife Jerush, proudly recounted his wealth, his many sons, his promotion above the other official, and his special invitation to Esther banquets with the king. Yet his pride and success could not satisfy him, because Mordecai continued to sit at king's gates. 13:14. Yet all his avails me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Jerush and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet, and think pleased the Haman. So he had the gallows made. Haman's bitterness blinded him to all the blessings he possessed. One offense had become so important to him that it overshadows everything else. His wife and friend therefore advised him to build a gallows 75 feet high, or 23 meters, and asked the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Haman and his friends expected Mordecai's death to demonstrate the consequence of refusing to honor Haman. Yet the very gallows intended for Mordecai would soon become the instrument of Haman's own downfall. That cross-reference here, Esther chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Chapter 6. That night the king could not sleep, so one was commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. The king could not sleep, so he ordered the royal chronicles to be brought and read before him. What appeared to be an ordinary night of insomnia became the turning point in the story. God was quietly directing events according to his providence. Verse 23. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers, who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servant who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. As the records were read, the king learned that Mordecai had previously reported the assassination plot against him. The cross-reference here, Esther chapter 2, 21 up to 23. Mordecai had received no reward for this act of loyalty. Yet God had not forgotten him. The reward had been delayed until precisely the right moment. There are times when we do what is right and receive no immediate recognition or reward. We may wonder why God has allowed something to happen, or why he has not answered as we expected. Mordecai's experience reminds us that God's timing is perfect, even when we cannot understand it. Verses 4 to 6. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that King Han Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there, standing in the court. And the king said, let me come in. So Haman came in, and king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? The king asked what honor had been given to Mordecai, and learned that nothing had been done for him. At that very moment, Haman entered the outer court, intending to ask the king to have Mordecai hanged. The king then asked Haman what should be done for the man whom the king desired to honor. Haman immediately assumed that the king was referring to him. His response revealed the pride in his heart. 7-9. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor, then parade him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Haman commanded that the honored man be dressed in king's royal robe, placed on king's horse, publicly honored throughout the city. In his imagination, Haman could see himself receiving the king's honor and glory. Haman already possessed wealth, authority, and influence, yet he craved public recognition and approval. We should not allow our desire for self-glory, such as applause, popularity, or human approval, to control our actions, rather than God's glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Verse 10, question 3. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse, as you ever suggest, and do so. For Mordecai, the Jew who sits within the king's gate, leave nothing undone out of all that you have spoken. Last question 3. The king then commanded Haman to do exactly what he had proposed, but for Mordecai, Haman's pride was suddenly turned into humiliation. God can overturn the plans of those who seek to harm his people. Joseph expressed this truth after his brothers had mistreated him. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. God is able to turn circumstances intended for evil toward his purposes, ultimately good. 11-12. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on the horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. Haman was forced to dress Mordecai in the king's robe, place him on the king's horse, and proclaim his honor throughout the city. Afterward, Mordecai returned to king's gate, while Haman hurried home mourning and covering his head in humiliation. The tables had been completely turned. Haman had planned Mordecai's execution, but instead he was compelled to honor the very man he hated. Verse 13. When Haman told his wife Jerush and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise man and his wife Jerush said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. Haman's wife and friends recognized the significance of what had happened. They warned him, if Mordecai was truly a Jew, Haman would not be able to defeat him. The reversal had already begun. The Haman's downfall was approaching. Mordecai's early report about the assassination plot had gone unrewarded for a time. But God had preserved the reward for his appointed moments. Just as Haman was preparing to have Mordecai hanged unjustly, the king was preparing to honor Mordecai publicly. God's time was not late. It was the exact perfect time. Here, verses 1 to 10. The last verse, 14, while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuch came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared, the second banquet. Before Haman could recover from his humiliation, the king's eunuch arrived and hurried him to Esther's banquet. The crisis was reaching its decisive moment, and Haman's downfall was about to be revealed. It is encouraging to know that God is sovereign over the circumstances of our lives, even when events appear accidental or delayed. God is able to work through them according to his purposes, Romans 8:20. The events surrounding Mordecai demonstrate that God may work quietly and patiently behind the scenes. What appears to be coincidence may be part of his providential direction. Therefore, we can trust our lives to the Lord. His purposes will ultimately be fulfilled. And we can surrender ourselves to become instruments through which he accomplishes his purposes. We do not know what God may have planned for us each day, but we can faithfully serve him and trust him with the future. We cover all three questions to continually keep on prayers for his mission to especially Baltic mission journey. Keep on prayer. So we pass out the mission cards, let them close to the Word of God. That's just the main point. So that threw in a lot of traffic and coming to internet. So that's why former the Western company to charge it extra, so intended to charge it much more. So we can see that. So all glory to the Lord. Let's sing all together, Proshan Maranta song.